Well, it is indeed good to be home, good to be back with you all this morning, and to be here in worship. As we think about this image of the armor of God, and as we think about what it does mean, as we talked about with the kids, to put on when we think about how we have to be, because as we think about how we express ourselves, often we do it through our outward, how we dress, and that's never more true than going to a vacation town, because people wear all kinds of things to express themselves on vacation, things such as shirts that said, "Don't hassle me, I'm local," or shirts of your favorite eating establishments. You know, I went to the fish market and there's a picture of a fish on it, or, you know, certain colleges, Michigan State was everywhere on vacation, all kinds of things. We show our allegiances, we show our interest. We got my father-in-law this great t-shirt with a big bass on it, so that I'd rather be fishing on Wabasa's Lake, which is true for him as he's now retired and all this stuff. We get our t-shirts out and souvenir stands or all the t-shirt places because we sell things to express our feelings of what we like, who we want to be. We put it on a t-shirt and we wear it. But what do we think about when we think about our hearts? What do we think about when we think about the things we want to be and the people we want to be? Because it's Paul talks about this armor of God image. It's a good image. It's a strong image. It's a powerful image to think about. But so often we don't like to put it on because we think about the contexts in which we need to put it on. And the reality is we've all been there at different times and at different reasons. You may be there now, and the hard news is you will be there again. Because that is the very nature of the world in which we live, and the very nature of what it means for us to be human. So I want you to imagine this morning, you sitting at your kitchen table. You are sipping your coffee, you're thinking about the day, you're looking out the window. But the weight on your shoulders and the pit in your stomach tells you it's out there and you don't want to face it. In the heat of the moment, in the fear of hurt and pain, in the anger and confusion, battle lines were drawn. And you somehow and in some way have found yourself at war. Perhaps you got into an argument with one of your children or one of your parents. And you know that if they could just see things from your point of view, then there would be no problem. Or a coworker blames you for some upheaval at work, and you know that they have been talking about it with everyone else but you. Or you failed in your relationship with your spouse, and you want desperately to go AWOL into something self-soothing and addicting rather than face the pain. Or something in the newspaper or on the morning television tells you that the world is not a safe place, and people are to be feared rather than trusted. It happens to all of us. We've experienced it. We've been there. We will be there again. But what kind of armor and what kind of battle we choose to fight will make all the difference between mass casualties and proclamations of peace. As we think about that, I want to take us into a bit of what Paul writes this morning, because there's two, I think, main temptations in this scene, in this armor of God that we're at risk of making that can lead to very different outcomes. And the first temptation is to see that this is about going to war. This is about putting on the armor and attacking and getting our action around beating someone up or taking no prisoners or shoot first, ask questions later, all of those cheesy war cliches it's about. And we embrace that. We sometimes kind of like that as our violent culture. I mean, I'm as much as anybody. I love, you know, Russell Crowe and Gladiator, you know, and he puts on the shield and the sword and he gets his revenge. And we're like, yeah, this is a good, you know, especially as a guy, this is a guy moment of testosterone raging and, oh, you know. So we want to think about putting on the armor. And it's interesting, I was looking for a cover for the bulletin because I Googled the armor of God and you get some really violent images of the armor of God. I'm like, yikes, you know. And so we think this is about going on the attack. It's about striking first. But yet if you think about what Paul says, he talks about standing firm. He talks about every single piece of this armor is something we take on, something we put on. When in fact, the only thing and the first thing he tells the people to do is to pray. Pray is the first command to go out and do something. The rest of the stuff we take on to face our days, to face our world, to face the circumstances we go through. The thing we're actually called to step into and do is to pray. And the second temptation is that we make the battle, we tend to make it about people, about situations, about something out there. And I'm not saying there's not bad people in the world, I'm not saying there's not evil in the world, but we need to be as much understanding of the battle within as the battle that's outside. And we need to realize that indeed it's not about flesh and blood, because we're all human and we're all flawed, and we need to recognize that shared life we all have. For even Paul says this battle is not about flesh and blood. But we need to beware of that temptation, I think, most of all, because there's reasons why shows like Jerry Springer are really popular. Because it's easy for us to look at something wrong on a stage and yell at it and condemn it and ignore everything going on inside of us. And so we need to recognize as well, to be much aware of the battle inside of us as the battle outside in the world. And to not be so quick to blame all our problems or make enemies of the folks out there when we're not willing to look inside and see, what are we responsible for? What do we have to take on? What do we have to confess and to reconcile? So thinking about those temptations, if we see them and we put them out there, then we can walk into and see this armor of God in a different way. See it as not something that calls us into an attack, but something that reminds us that things are hard. We get into conflicts, we get into struggles, we get into battles of different kinds. But we can choose to put on this armor in good ways, in deep ways, and in wonderful ways. So seeing and thinking about Paul's perspective, sitting in that house under arrest, seeing those Roman soldiers coming in and out, changing shifts, standing guard, he saw those images, he saw those armors. And wanting to encourage a group of believers in a community of Ephesus, he took that image and wrote it into what we have as the armor of God. So I hope in my own life, when those battles rage and those things happen, that I will pray to choose the belt of truth. Not the truth where I will angrily and judgmentally tell others all of the problems they possess. Sometimes that's our truth. I'm going to be a truth teller, so I'm going to tell you everything that's wrong with you. And that's me telling the truth. But rather instead to try and listen to others. To listen to others more clearly and really seek to understand what they're saying before I respond to something. And to also be brave enough to take responsibility for what I need to take responsibility for in the midst of the situation, knowing that the only thing I have control over is my own being. So we put on that belt of truth. The belt of truth that holds the uniform together, that sets us free to move and to be. Truth in a way that's going to seek to understand, seek to be clear, seek to recognize as much responsibility in ourselves as in the situation around us, and be willing to take it. To uphold that belt of truth. And then to pray, to choose that breastplate of righteousness. Not righteousness where we tend to think righteousness as, I am more right than someone else. That's when we often think we're righteous. I'm righteous when I'm more right than you are. But rather choosing to be in right relationship with others. The breastplate was what covered the heart, it covered the vital organs. It was one of the most crucial pieces of armor because it protected all that was valuable. So choosing to protect our hearts. Choosing to protect the hearts of others, not by closing it off, but rather by opening it up to others, knowing that it is protected in the assurance that we are beloved sons and daughters of God, as is everyone else. And to be able to stay in that relationship and to create space where people can openly share their hearts with one another. To choose to re and write relationship rather than being more right than one another. And I pray to choose to have my feet fitted with the gospel of peace. That wonderful gospel of peace. Not the peace that tries to run over everyone with my own defensiveness. Well, there will be peace when you understand that I'm right. That's peace. So I'm going to trot over you with all the reasons why I'm right. I'm going to stomp on you. I'm going to run over you with all the reasons I'm right. Rather, I think Paul looked at those Roman sandals laced up and thought, oh, how important is a good set of shoes to walk the dusty, hard, and Roman roads. Knowing the shoes that we will not just walk over where we don't walk over, but where we walk with others, where we try to put ourselves in another's shoes, not to react, but to reconcile, where we seek and courage to step into conversations and actions that are hard rather than standing on our own defenses. and then pray to choose to take up the shield of faith. Not the faith that we have seen so much in our world that judges and condemns or declares who is in and who is out. Instead, the faith that trusts God. One of the most interesting things I learned about Roman shields is that they are actually the size to cover a person and the third of another person, so that when they close ranks, they actually will cover the next part of the next person, and everyone has protection. So to think about that faith that challenges me to love my neighbor as myself, the faith that reminds me that God will keep all of God's promises, and that my life is to be a response of gratitude through worship and service. The kind of faith that invites us to see that God is bigger than the problems of our world and to love others. The helmet of salvation. Not the salvation that says, this life doesn't matter, we'll all get to heaven someday, so who really cares the problems we have or the state of our world or other things of that nature. That helmet of salvation says it's all about getting out and getting on. Instead, the salvation. The salvation that empowers me and frees me to fully engage my thinking, my observing, and my responding with courage and boldness. To not afraid to be wrong, not afraid to ask questions or to think things through, because the assurance of the grace of God. The helmet that frees us to see, to observe, to think, to question, and to fully engage this world, knowing that grace that secures us and frees us. And then finally, the sword of the Spirit. We think about that sword all too often. How many times have we heard the Bible is not a weapon? You see, the sword of the Spirit, it's that one piece where we think about, finally I get the sword. I get to wield something. I get to strike something down. All right, here's the sword. But yet Paul carefully names it the sword of the Spirit. It is not a sword that cuts people down or cuts people by our own agendas. It is sword of the Spirit. Not one that I wield, but one rather that I yield to. One that wields me. One that chooses to cut and shape my life in ways that are challenging, encouraging, and giving of love and hope. We see in all these things Paul inviting us into a new way of being. A way of being that kind of sets us free from having to be that militant response, that conquesting place, but invites us to fully live into who God has created us to be as beloved children. We can fully be and freely be vulnerable. We can be ourselves. We can be authentic. We can be peaceful. We can be in relationship. We can create communities of love and safety and openness of sharing, all with the armor of God. It is not an armor that we're tempted to think closes us off, protects us, fortifies us. Rather, I think it's an armor that empowers us to fully engage our lives, to fully engage our world in ways that are loving and caring and life-giving. The temptations will come at different times and in different ways, and we'll still go back to feeling like, I'm going to put on the armor of God and I'm going to get you because you are out to get me. And we're tempted to think too, if it wasn't for that person out there, my life would be perfect. If it wasn't for those people who did this to me, everything would be great. Those temptations are always going to come. But Paul invites us to see that armor of God is something we put on. And we decide in the morning to wake up and say, this is who I want to be. I want to be a truth teller who's going to seek to understand before I feel like I need to be understood. I want to have a breastplate of righteousness that truly opens my heart and takes in and protects the hearts of others. I want to have feet fitted with peace that are willing to walk with someone in their deepest pain and their hardest struggle. I want to have that that shield of faith that says, come, find shelter, find safety in this place with us. I want to put on that helmet of salvation that says, I'm not afraid to ask questions. I'm not afraid to be wrong. I'm not afraid to make mistakes because God is good and God's grace is sufficient. And I want to take up that sword of faith, or sword of the Spirit, that word of God.